The operator, this call is now being recorded.
Okay. All right.
I can do the roll call for you quickly, Greg, too.
Thanks, Gwen.
We've got on the call Greg Aaron, Mike O'Connor, George Kirikos, Roland Perry, James Bladel, Martin Sutton, Greg Ogorek, Jeff Newman, Richard Tindall, and even Libovich, and for staff, we have got Marika and Margie Milam, and I see Philip Corwin has just joined the call now.
And we also have Barry Cobb, who's just joined through Adobe.
Oh, yes, sorry, I didn't see that.
Hey, Barry Cobb is now joining the call.
And Barry's on the call now.
Well, welcome everyone to our new meeting time. We'll see if anybody joins in 30 minutes, the old time. First, some housekeeping. We have a new member with us today, Evan Leibovich from ALAC. Want to say hello, Evan?
Hi there. I think those who were at the Sunday meeting, I think, knew who I was.
If you'd like, why don't you just take a brief second to tell everyone your background.
Okay. Just first thing, I'm not speaking for ALAC nor representing them here. I'm chair of the North American region for at large, but speaking in a personal capacity, anything that I'm still in the process of going back to ALAC for some guidance on some of the issues we discussed at Sydney. Right now I'm still here to learn and listen. I'm a little bit groggy because I had another conference to go to after Sydney, and I got back yesterday, so I'll probably be just more listening than talking today, though from the meeting in Sydney I think a lot of people have an idea where I'm coming from.
Thank you, Evan. You're joining about 3 months into the project, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you some notes about what we've discussed so far and some documents that you'll need to get caught up on.
Okay.
The expectation is that you'll get caught up pretty much immediately. It'll be your responsibility to read those materials. We've done some work already, and we won't be going back and reviewing it, basically, or revisiting some of the topics we've already done. So there is some water under the bridge, and we'll expect you to get up to speed.
Understood.
Okay. So look for that in the mail today. Okay. A brief recap of Sydney. We got together for about an hour, and then we had kind of open forum for questions from the audience. We had quite good attendance. And I think a great majority of the working group members were there either in person or on the conference. If you did not have an opportunity to join us one way or another, there is, of course, a recording and transcript, which I believe is linked to on the wiki now. We picked up basically from the meeting before. So the last topic we got into is cyber squatting, and we'll talk a little bit more about that today, hopefully. And then there's various Q&A, but what we'll be doing today is continuing on course. Let me see here. Pull up our agenda. Did anybody have any questions or comments on the Sydney meeting before we go ahead? Okay, George?
I think at the end of the Sydney meeting, it was suggested that Mike Rodenbaugh would go back to the GNSO to clarify the exact scope of this group, whether, for example, cyber squatting, which is often a use-based activity, would be covered by the scope of this work group or not.
Well,
I didn't see any vote on their mailing list, so... I continue to believe that it's out of scope because it isn't really directly related to registration abuse.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I believe Mike has just joined us.
Yes, I have. I didn't realize I had an instruction to go back to the group. I certainly can. George, I just think you're pushing a notion that has really been decided by the council already. I know you keep getting hung up on what is abuse versus registration abuse. You know, that was a task that was assigned to this group to try to sort out. It's perfectly acceptable if the group would come back and say that that's not really possible to do, as I've been arguing all along. But to keep arguing that, you know, things are outside of the scope of group of the group is really just a waste of time. So if we do need to get clarity on it, let's do it, and let's do it now so we can stop wasting everybody's time with this line of reasoning.
Well, I thought it was understood at the last meeting that you were going to do that, so the ball's in your court.
That wasn't my understanding, actually. But Marika, I see your hands raised.
Yes, I just wanted to point out that I did send everyone the relevant section of the charter that talks about the definition question, which I think clearly outlines that it's for this group to discuss these issues and come back with a recommendation to the council. And personally, I didn't see any limitation in that discussion. If the group would come to a conclusion in the end that they see certain elements not fitting within the definition that the group agrees is registration abuse, then that's a recommendation to the council. And I think another reminder is that this is a pre-PDP working group. So I think there's more scope for discussion here as well, as this group is not going to make any recommendations yet on policy or policy changes. So I think that's something that to take into account in this discussion. And I think, as Mike said, you know, there might not be a need at this stage to go back to the council to change that definition here.
Okay. James, I see your hand raised. Thank you, Marika.
Yeah, just to echo what Marika was saying, one of my last contributions to the group in Sydney was that Mike is correct. We do tend to get into circular discussions about scope, and so I thought that since this was just a pre-PDP and not yet going through the formal PDP process, and I'm still struggling with the difference in the definition, but we could just, you know, acknowledge that there may be questions of scope and move on, and then possibly make a note to address those in the formal PDP.
Okay, anybody else? And I think what Marika says makes a lot of sense. To me, reading the scope is this is in scope, so I'm kind of with Mike on it.
So I just feel like we need to all agree on that and stop raising this issue with every topic we discuss, because it really is a waste of a lot of people's time.
Well, Mike, one of the things we are charged with doing is trying to figure out whether some of these issues are in scope or not. I don't think we're going to be able to make a blanket statement that we're going to look at everything. We have choices to make. Maybe in this particular one, we can agree, but we've been asked in our charter to also decide whether certain things are in scope or not. So I don't think blanket pronouncements are going to be possible. So anyway, the current topic is cyber squatting. Now, Fred Fellman had sent in some text, but he is not with us on the call. And Fred didn't send that in directly. I think he just posted it to the wiki. Was anybody in discussion with Fred as he created this material? Yeah.
Fred and I had one email exchange about it.
Okay. And Martin, I know you were also on that little group working on this. Did you guys have any discussion?
No, not on this specifically. I've read the posting, but I know he was just going to try and extract some of the definitions from other areas.
Okay. Well, let's look at what we have from Fred so far, and I wish Fred would, maybe he'll join us at 30 after, we'll see. But on screen, we have two standard definitions, the ACPA definition. And Mike, can you tell us about ACPA?
The United States Federal Law, the Anti-Cyber Squatting Consumer Protection Act. Been in place for 6-7 years now, I think. and basically is designed to deter and punish cyber squatting.
Okay. And then the UDRP definition, which is probably familiar to most, defines the three criteria that are needed to establish cyber squatting and then transfer or cancellation of the name. So, they're not... cyber squatting, the UDRP one is kind of more functional, three criteria. ACPA strikes me as something a little more difficult or a little more amorphous to define. Mike, basically, ACPA is something you would bring a suit under, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Also, this is not the, I mean, this may be one definition of cyber squatting. This is not what the elements of the cyber squatting claim are. And those might be more helpful, defining exactly what is a cyber squatting offense. This is really sort of a general definition that Congress worked up by which they would, you know, they said this is the problem. But this isn't really defining what is the activity that is illegal. There's a separate set of factors to that effect. Which I'm surprised, I thought that they were in here, but I can't scroll down and see if they're at the bottom, but that would be more helpful than what we have here.
Okay. Jeff Newman?
Yeah, I want to agree with Mike. I think the ACPA definition here is really no different than ordinary, or could be ordinary, trademark infringement. It's just using a domain name. So I think it's going to be important if we use the ACPA, as Mike said, to look at the actual factors, because cyber squatting is very different than just ordinary trademark infringement.
Okay.
Fred, can I make a comment? It's Marika.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just want to read out, because Fred did leave a statement on the wiki as well, in addition to the document, in which he says, I've included two alternative definitions for cyber squatting in the attachment, which you can see in Adobe Connect. I'm recommending that we use the definition based on UDRP because this is the commonly agreed upon definition in the DNS. If there's agreement on that, I'll begin a draft on the issue and background for discussion in this group and the full RAP. Just to add that to the discussion.
Okay. James?
Hi. Just to remind or to refresh where we were when we were asking for, I think it was myself that was asking for us to get some different definitions, was that the definition that we had in Sydney that we were discussing, many of us felt had an element of intent that was assumed or needed to be discovered, and so we were just looking for other models that were pre-existing, and so I think that, you know, We're looking for something to help us push off on defining cyber squatting that takes away that element of intent. At least that was my recollection.
Okay. All right. Well, we have a couple of definitions here to play with, but the bigger question that'll come before us is, I mean, obviously, this is a well-known domain name of registration issue. It's actually, UDRP actually defines it as an abuse. I think it's pretty clear that's an abuse issue. The question is, what should be done about it, if anything? What is our group really concerned about, and what might we recommend? So, you know, there definitional issues can be settled and agreed to, I think, but the bigger question is, so what next? Is somebody proposing that something change or something be different or that a policy be created other than the UDRP? Mike?
I guess the question I've got is, how does this conversation relate to the new IRT recommendation, and should we include that in this conversation?
Well, we had a discussion a couple of months ago about the new TLD process. IRT certainly does touch upon some of the same issues, but we're not necessarily tasked with creating a work product and making recommendations for the new TLD process. That's never been requested of us. I also see Jeff's hands raised.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Well, I think, and I don't want to speak for Phil, he's on the call here, but I think one of the recommendations that could be made certainly is for a review of the UDRP. I mean, I think, you know, I know that Phil has spoken about that, and I know that there are registrants that would like to see certain things changed. I know that certain registrants think that it's skewed towards trademark owners, and certain trademark owners feel otherwise. But I do think that one of the recommendations we could make or should make is that, look, it's been in place now for 10 years. I think it needs to be reviewed.
Okay. Phil?
Yeah, well, two thoughts here. One, the IRT and particularly the URS, I think was evident in Sydney, is controversial, and it's not clear yet what's going to happen with that. So far as the UDRP, the organization I represent has said that we would prefer a uniform dispute process across both incumbent and new GTLDs, and the letter we'll be filing today on the IRT advocates a expedited PDP to do just that, to get a new process in place prior to the opening of any new TLDs in the last quarter of 2010, which addresses both trademark and registrant concerns about various aspects of the UDRP. But having said that, I'm not sure how we would factor that into what we're doing right now. I think we have to deal with abuse as it's presently defined, and not as how it may be defined at either new GTLDs or new and incumbent GTLDs at some point in the future, whether that's the near future or further down the road.
Evan?
Hi there. I just wanted to say...
One more thing. Also, I think we need to keep in mind that we're not just that registration abuse, at least when we started out, was far broader than trademark infringement. We were talking about the deliberate registration of domains with the intent to use them for illegal activities, distribution of malware, that type of thing. So we started at least with a much broader purview than just trademark infringement.
Yes. Okay. Anything else, Phil?
No, that's it.
Okay. Back to you, Evan.
Okay. I mean, I'm coming into this, you know, for this particular agenda item, realizing we're talking about cyber squatting, which, you know, as I've said before, isn't necessarily the only form of abuse. But as we're talking about this, I'm perfectly happy with the UDRP definition, acknowledging some people have said that there's an issue of use, but, I mean, there's a clear bad faith component of the UDRP definition. I'm perfectly happy with that.
Jeff?
Oh, actually, I didn't have my hand up again.
Okay, all right. What are some of the things that people perceive as being inadequate about the UDRP? What are some of the things that people have raised over the last couple of years? And Jeff, I'm asking that one also to you, since you had mentioned a couple of cases.
Yeah, so I think a lot of it's come up in the whole IRT discussions And probably if you review a transcript of, there were so many meetings, so I think it's the transcript of the general, the Wednesday afternoon session on trademark abuse. I believe that some had raised issues of issues with panelists and issues of bias that may be within panelists' decisions. I've heard some of that. I've heard issues of cost from the trademark side, issues of cost and issues of 70% of them result in default, and why should it be so expensive to bring those actions? I mean, there's definitely issues on both sides, some of which have been raised. You could find in the transcript from that Wednesday session, and I'm sure Phil actually has a bunch more issues that he could talk to as well.
Okay. Mike Rodenbaugh has his hand raised.
Jeff did a pretty good job of saying what I was going to say, but basically just coming in from the other side, if you will, the trademark owner side. I mean, the UDRP has certainly been a good step, better than having to go to court every time, but certainly has not been a deterrent to cyber squatting, particularly since the rise of pay-per-click advertising. And so basically what trademark owners believe is that the UDRP is too cumbersome, too expensive, too slow to provide an effective remedy against domain cyber squatting, which only costs, $8 to register a name.
Okay. Let's see. George, I think you're next.
Yeah, I think Jeff covered most of the issues. I think also from a registrant's point of view, a lot of the process is cumbersome to defend a UDRP. The amount of time given to defend a UDRP is a lot less than that for a complainant who has unlimited time to prepare a case, whereas a registrant has only 20 days to respond. And then that goes to the issue of the speed and the cost on both sides.
Okay. Thank you. Phil, I see your hand up.
Yeah, adding to that, and again, I'm not quite sure where this fits in with our mission, but if there was an open process to discuss everyone's problems with the UDRP, complaints I've heard from registrants include some are similar to trademark interests, the expense and time involved. We see increasing evidence of forum shopping between the various arbitration groups, the lack of any binding precedent, the lack of an internal low-cost appeals process. And more and more, we're hearing reports of folks who have had domains for a long time. They're not infringing. And someone goes out years after the domain's been established and takes out a trademark in the same term and then brings a UDRP, and in some cases they're actually winning those cases when they should not be. So there's a lot of problems going on, and all we've ever said is let's have a process that addresses everyone's concerns, not just trademark concerns.
Okay. George?
Yeah, just to add to Phil's points, many on the trademark side are using UDRP in a way that it wasn't intended. They're using it as a lottery ticket in order to go after high-value domains. I think if there is going to be UDRP reform, the number of cases that are covered needs to be refined so that, for example, as Phil said, if you register a trademark after the domain name and it's long after, like 10 years, that's obviously not a case for the UDRP. It's not one of those clear-cut cases that people were talking about when the UDRP was originally created.
Jeff?
Yeah, so I don't know how we accomplish this, but my request is that this is the type of issue that should be sent out for public comment to hear from people that maybe aren't necessarily participants in the ICANN process day-to-day, to get it out there so that we can ask them what they perceive are the good things and bad things about the UDRP, because I don't think we're going to be able to brainstorm them all. And I think that would be something valuable for public input, for anyone who's lost a UDRP case or won a UDRP case. It would be very valuable to hear from them.
Yeah. Well, and this process that we have for this PDP working group is exactly for that. I mean, if we do make a recommendation about UDRP, then the recommendation plus any others would go out for public comment. And then if there was a PDP after that, then that would go through the usual process also with inputs. Mikey, go ahead.
I was just going to sort of wrap up this little part of the discussion by bringing us back to Jeff's original idea, which is seems like everybody's speaking in favor of the notion of recommending a review of the UDRP, and maybe we could just check for folks who don't want to do that, and if not, I'll go ahead and prop that one up as something.
You spoke my mind. I was going to do a little straw poll here.
Sorry about that.
No, quite all right. We could phrase this a couple of ways. I mean, we started discussing this as cyber squatting, but do we want to make this a referendum on kind of the UDRP as it stands? So I'll tell you what. Do we want? Let me phrase it this way. Let me type this in here. Hold on just a second.
Greg, while you're typing, can I say something?
Go ahead, Marika.
No, I just wanted to point out and echo what you said. I mean, this group can make recommendations, but those could be recommendations as well as saying, you know, we want to do a public comment period or we would like to have a workshop on this issue. Or so I think as well this group should, you know, think broadly in that sense that it, you know, it shouldn't be the only recommendation this group can make is like whether to initiate a PDP or not. If the group feels that there are other avenues that should be explored first, I think it should be open about that and include that in its recommendation so the council can take an informed decision and see as well why, you know, with the argumentations why the group felt that, for example, the first should be a public comment period or a workshop or whatever being organized before there is a decision on reviewing the UDRP, for example. So.
Greg and Marika, this is James.
Go ahead.
A point of administrative order. I'm not able to read the chat window on Adobe Connect. I'm wondering if that's something I'm doing or something everyone is seeing. I can only see about two lines there.
Is that better?
Much, yeah. Thank you.
All right. So anyway, sorry, I lost my train of thought. Just a second. I'm typing in straw poll topic. So I'd like a straw poll on this question. And if you like the idea, use the green check mark. If you disagree, you can use the red X.
All right, where's the question? Oh, wait.
Topics and sub squatting.
Yeah, but I'm just looking for what he typed in.
Can you see the chat box?
It's in the second window on the left, the middle window.
Does change topic from cyber squatting to review of UDRP?
Yeah, can I speak to that, Greg?
Go ahead.
Mike, that's, I guess, a little bit out of scope to be changing the topic, I suppose. I mean, cyber squatting to review of UDRP, what you're doing is you're really narrowing the scope of the topic. UDRP is one specific remedy used to address cyber squatting. Cyber squatting, you know, there's thousands of cyber squatting cases that never go to UDRP because it's so expensive and so slow. So that's why you have the URS proposal from the IRT, so in a few more acronyms.
Okay. What you're saying is there are other ways to address cyber squatting.
That we should be discussing, yes.
Would you like to throw some out?
Sure. Better registrant verification up front. A Sunrise process that involves some sort of an IP claim service, as was recommended by the IRT. And, of course, some sort of quick suspension process for when abuses do happen, similar to URS that was proposed.
Greg, this is Marika. If I can take the discussion a second back as well to the original document, because where this comes from is our listing of the different abuses, going to the definition process. And I think we did have a category in there as well as recommendations from the working group on those specific issues, which then, for example, could include like review of the UDRP or some of the other elements that Mike mentioned. So I'm not sure whether we're now jumping ahead, talking about recommendations and moving away from the original document of the different abuses and first defining them, deciding whether they are considered registration abuse, where they have legitimate purposes, and then move to what do we want to do about them or what is the recommendation from the group to the council to...
No, I think what we're doing right now is the topic that came up with cyber squatting. And what I think we're sussing out now is that review of the UDRP is one topic of interest. But there are other aspects of cyber squatting or other potential solutions or what have you that would like to be discussed, because we got a mixed result on the poll. So as Mike said, there might also be other things that we should add to our list for discussion. So the topic is still cyber squatting. The question is, what do you do about it? What are some of the potential issues or solutions that should be discussed? George, go ahead.
Well, in some ways, by studying the failures of the UDRP, we come up with those solutions. Like, I'm fully in agreement with things like registrant verification that acts, you know, proactively to reduce all kinds of abuse, not just cyber squatting. But it would be nice to have that study of, you know, what the failings of the UDRP are so that it kind of narrows exactly what the fixes are going to be. Because, you know, if it's already perfect, which everybody agrees it's not, then, you know, we need to be able to fix what's wrong with it.
Okay. Mikey?
I just want to pick up something that went by in the chat, which I thought was a good idea, and maybe frame the poll a little bit differently. Rather than change the name of cyber squatting, which I think... good points have been made why that's not necessarily the right thing to do. Maybe what we ought to do is frame this as just, are we in favor of the notion of review of the UDRP as part of our recommendations? So just, you know, instead of changing the topic.
Yeah, that's what I had said, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm an in behind that.
Yeah, okay. Evan has his hand raised.
Well, have we moved on from reframing the topic, or are we going on to what are we going to do about it?
Well, we're going back to the topic of cyber squatting.
Right. But there was a mention a few minutes ago of, okay, if we have something beyond the UDRP, what do we do about it? So if that's still on, I might have an idea or two.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Can we not possibly work with the search engines, with the Googles and Microsofts, so that they can restrict their offering of pay-per-click services to offending domain names?
Does that get beyond ICANN's scope and what it should be doing?
Well, as I heard at the beginning of this call, one of the things this group can do is define its own scope. And this might be something worth investigating.
Well, to clarify, we do have an obligation from our charter to consider whether ideas are in ICANN scope or not. We're not free form.
Right. Hey, you're asking for ideas.
Sure. And I'm asking a question in return.
And so it might be worth debating with whether this is within the scope or not. I think it's a concrete way to discourage cyber squatting. If people know if they take a domain that's in bad faith, that they're not going to get any pay-per-click revenue out of it, that may affect things very significantly.
George?
Just to follow up on Evan's idea, that's really not something that ICANN can say. It's really left up to the trademark holder and Yahoo and Google. And both Yahoo and Google already offer such programs where
if you have a trademark, you can file to have, you know, a domain blocked from pay-per-click on that on the basis of that trademark. So
maybe
it's kind of already in place.
Maybe as a matter of information, I can facilitate that.
Other than providing accurate who is, like, what would they do? Like,
you want me to go into detail later? I mean, you guys are asking for ideas. I'm coming up with them, and rather than just bashing them right away, how about figuring out maybe how we can make them work?
Well, it doesn't make sense for us to spend a lot of time debating an idea that is clearly outside of ICANN's responsibilities or powers. I think that's the question in front of us. Faisal?
I mean, just following up on Evan's thought, I mean, it's something ICANN could do, for example, is require WIPO and the NAF and the other arbitration centers to provide a list of cyber-squatted names to search engines. You know, I mean, I wouldn't dismiss his idea completely out of hand. There are things ICANN could do if ICANN wanted to.
Faisal?
Hey, yeah, you know, maybe I'm going to go off a little bit here, but I want to go back to what Marika was saying, which is basically why I think we might be jumping ahead of ourselves with the whole review of the UDFP and whatnot, and can we bring it back to just coming up with a definition of cyber squatting, decide whether it is or isn't in there's registration abuse here, and then move on to others as opposed to trying to focus in on, you know, remedies at this point, because I think we could do that for pretty much every single one of them, and then it could be a pretty cumbersome task.
Well, UDRP actually defines cyber squatting as an abuse. We already know it's an abuse, don't we?
Right.
So, given that, what do you suggest again?
Well, just my suggestion is that we, you know, we do what we did for the previous you know, registration abuses, and come up with a definition here for you know, cyber squatting, and then we can move through all the other potential registration abuses that we have you know, in our, that we had originally come up with in Martin Sutton, and then we can come back to this as opposed to going through each of these and trying to figure out whether there was a remedy that is adequate or not.
Okay. It's an interesting question, all right? I mean, on one hand, everybody is saying, yes, everyone thinks that the UDRP needs reexamination. Okay. Let's see. James, you're next.
I just, coming into this a little belated, but I just wanted to concur with Faisal that we should probably draw a box around some of these and move on. And I'll just leave it at that, with circling back on some of the other topics.
Okay, so your proposal is, Faisal and James, to finish up the definition of cyber squatting and then come back to ideas for dealing with it?
Yes.
And Greg, what I can do in the meantime as well, in the document we have, I can already add a box in saying recommendations and at least note some of the points that have been discussed. So, you know, when we come back to them, you know, we have reminders of some of the things that were raised throughout this this discussion, if that would be helpful.
Yeah, let's do that then. Okay, now, we had a group that was working on definitions. That was Fred, James, Mike Rodenbaugh, and I'm forgetting someone.
Phil Corwin.
Phil. Okay, thank you. We decided that the ACPA factors might be needed to be added to the document that we have so far on the wiki. By the next meeting, can the four or five of you get those ACPA factors and have a definition for us to discuss at the next meeting?
Yes.
Okay. And
can you tell me who's on the list again? Fred, Faisal?
No, let's see. It was Fred, Martin. Let me see.
It's noted on the wiki page. So it's Fred, Mike, James, Michael Young, Paul Sahura, and Phil Corwin. Those are the ones that volunteered in the meeting in Sydney.
Her and Corwin? Okay, got it. Thanks.
Okay. Who would like to volunteer to speak with, from that group, to speak with Fred, get him caught up?
I will do that.
Okay. Says Mike. Okay. All right. Now, Marika, you had mentioned that were you jotting down some of the ideas that had come up?
Yes, and my proposal was to add a box to the document where we now have type, definition, primary target, legitimate use, requires DNS system, RAP working group scope, to add a box there saying possible recommendations, just to note down ideas that have come up. So I can take those down that were discussed now.
Yeah. And what I'd like to do is let's have that list of recommendations also put in, underneath the definition. Let's work from the wiki at this point, because that's where the existing definitional material is so far. And let's capture all of that so we can go over it at the next meeting. Does that sound okay? Okay. That is as an okay then. Tell you what, Mikey, do you still have the mic? Do you need it?
I don't know how I got it. No, I don't. Sorry.
Okay. Evan, your hand is raised?
No.
Okay. All right. I'm going to decline that then. All right, Mikey and Evan, if you could clear your X's and checks.
Okay.
Do you have an action for the next meeting?
Nope.
Evan, your hand is gone now?
Yeah, sorry.
All right, so our action is Marika's got the list. We'll be adding that to the definition on the wiki. Mike Rodenbaugh will speak with Fred, and you'll have material for us to look at the next meeting. When you guys post that revised material, can you also post it to the list? Actually, the sooner you can get it done, the better, because then we can kick off some discussion on the list. And maybe we can get some discussion going before the next meeting.
I'm going to send a note out to this small group immediately with what I propose to send to the list.
Okay. We are still meeting only every other week, so it would be good to have discussion on the list to the extent possible. Okay. So, that's cyber squatting. And we've got leads for it. So, on my, hold on a second. Okay. Now, we can do two things now on the agenda. We can go on to the next thing on the list, but there's also another topic that I want to remind everybody about that we have to work on. And that is that in the charter, we're asked to understand if registration abuses are occurring that might be curtailed or better addressed if consistent registration abuse policies were established. Basically, this is a question about uniformity across registries. And Mike Rodenbaugh, I'm going to ask you to kind of speak to this one. So I think this was one of your main questions that led to this working group.
That's correct. It stemmed from the fact that the VeriSign registry agreements for COM and NET are very different than all of the other GTLD registry agreements, I believe, on the point of dealing with abuse. So all of the other registry agreements very clearly provide the registry the opportunity to take names out, to suspend names in the event of bad behavior, whereas the common net agreements do not specifically allow VeriSign to do that.
Okay. So one of the questions is, can things be curtailed or better addressed if things are consistent?
But we should note that we're not just talking about the registry agreements. We're certainly also talking about the registrar agreements, and specifically the registrar-registrant agreements, which are often not consistent, well, are completely inconsistent, really.
And Greg, if I can maybe add to that, because having done the research for the issues report, we had limited time, and we felt that one of the questions this group would need to ask as well, indeed, what would more uniformity have as a result, to do some thinking or some investigating as to whether that would benefit the end outcome or not, because there's at this point, we couldn't find any evidence of that being the case or not being the case, so that's why that issue was raised as well in the issues report, needing further discussion.
Right, and that's why I'm raising this question at this time, because it's something that will require some work and looking into.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to do that, we should probably bite off some of that work now, because it may take a little bit of research. So what we have in the issues report that Marika created was an overview of what it currently exists, registry to registry, and then their notes about what registrars have, I believe. And this topic may also be more informed as we go through our individual issues, because we'll get to understand those issues a little better and whether or not, we may get a better understanding what those issues are, how widespread they are, where they occur, that kind of a thing. So, how should we approach looking into this issue? There is some inconsistency. The question is, what does it mean? We're going to need somebody to take on this issue and start outlining, departting from the issues report, what the issues are, and what does it mean? Does it make a difference, or could it make a difference? There are obviously differences in what all these entities do. So I'm suggesting that we need a sub-team to start working on this issue. So my question is, who wants to start looking at these diverse policies outlined in the issues report and try to figure out for us what it actually means? Do I have any volunteers?
This is Mikey. I'll volunteer, but I'm jammed up. I can't lead it.
Okay.
I could participate.
Okay. This is Marika. I'm happy to provide staff support for this sub-team.
Okay, so Mikey and Marika. Barry, I see your hand raised.
Yes, I'd just like to I'd be a part of this little subgroup, and some of the work that I kind of started on is collecting registrar-registrant agreements across every country, kind of like the top 10 of registrars out there, and looking at what kind of agreements they have set in place. I've acquired all of those different contracts, so to speak, and now I'm trying to coordinate how we can compare one against the next, and again by country. So anyway, I'll help out with this little subgroup.
Okay, thank you, Barry. Anybody else? We're gonna need at least one or two more, in addition to Mikey and Barry. Mike Rodenbaugh, this was something a topic you were interested in. Would you be willing to volunteer?
it is a topic I'm interested in, and certainly one I'll be watching. I can provide a little bit of time, but not a lot.
Okay, so is that a yes?
That's a yes condition, that I can't put in a lot of time on this. I'm already putting in way too much time for ICANN these days.
But you love it. But you love it, man.
I do love some of it.
Okay, I'm going to put you down on the list. So we have Mikey, Marika, Barry, and Mike. I'll keep abreast of it. Anybody else? All right, we'll also need to pull the people who are not with us today. So let me take that as an action item for myself.
And something to note maybe here for the group, I mean, I'm not sure how much research this group wants to do itself, but something they could consider as well is, you know, putting out a public comment question or maybe a question directed to some of the constituencies, like the registries and registrars, who have, you know, day-to-day experiences of these issues, to get some feedback or input from those groups. Be something to consider, so not to make it too work intensive for.
Yes, and also from the groups that are trying to deal with abuse on the internet.
Yes.
This is Mikey. Can we ask the registries and registrars to just send us copies of the agreements to fill out the work that's already been done?
They're all on it.
Information is already in the issues report.
Okay.
The registrar agreements are always posted on their websites.
And we've put some samples of the registrar agreements on in the issues report, because of course we can cover all of them, and we covered, I think, the relevant elements from the registry agreement. So those can already be found in the issues report.
Okay, great.
Okay. George, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was just going to make an observation that if these subgroups try to post, you know, between meetings all their discussions on the mailing list, maybe with a special subject, then that might draw in more input from members who might not have volunteered but who are following the issue.
Absolutely.
Because if we just hear about things 2 weeks from now, you know, it's all out of the blue, whereas if we're meeting on an ongoing basis, the chance for more input is much greater.
Absolutely. That, yeah, as a reminder to everybody, is one of the reasons why we chose the wikis, because we want to have material up there all the time that people can react to. And since we are meeting every other week, we need to get work done between those meetings. So posting to the list and posting changes to the wikis, actually those are both good things to do. Posting to the list will let people know that you've done some work and you stuck it up there in the wiki, and then people can go look at it. Okay. All right, good. All right. So that's another track we have underway now. And we are coming up at the top of the hour. Would everybody like to take a very brief break? A couple minutes? And then we'll come right back. I'm gonna call a break until the top of the hour. It's about 4 minutes from now, according to my clock. Okay. All right. So if you want to hang out on the call for just a minute, of course, please do so. Okay, we're back. All right. So, moving on. Next on our laundry list, so to speak, after cyber squatting is mass/automated registration abuse, which is defined as automated tools used to register bulk domains. So, first question is this a legitimate use or not, or both? Opinions? George?
I would say definitely has the potential for typo squatting, but on the other hand, it can actually be used for legitimate purposes. Let's say I'm starting up a new company selling widgets. I might want to get all variations of that name, and these mass automated tools can help me register those in bulk. And so it can both be used to protect a company's name, but also typo squat existing names.
Okay. Mikey O'Connor?
I'd just like to chime in behind George. In fact, variants of names are often suggested by registrars when going after a specific name, and it's very helpful. So maybe the refinement to that is comes back to the trademark abuse, you know. Use when those tools are used to register variants of trademark names. I'd agree with that, but I don't think the tool itself can be indicted with a blanket indictment.
Okay. Thank you. Mike Rodenbaum?
I mean, I think no question that it can be used negatively, and we made big steps forward to eliminate that sort of use with the domain tasting working group and the outcomes from that group, which have now been implemented. As far as, you know, registering names on a massive scale or an automated scale, I mean, it's just something that would be really hard to prohibit, even if we wanted to. At this point, it's just sort of been done to death, and it doesn't seem like it will ever stop. And, you know, certainly some players in the system have built technologies that allow them really superior access to the domain pool, both expiring domains and new registrations, really. But on the new registration side, again, I think the domain tasting remedies have more or less taken care of that, although we're certainly monitoring the implementation of that policy. And then I would just note that on the expiring domain side, that is also being looked at. There's another working group that has just been kicked off from the GNSO on the post-expiration domain name recovery policies and the inconsistencies that people have seen and how those policies are applied.
A couple of questions for you, Mike. Post-expiration or PENDR, is that it?
PENDR, yeah.
NDR. Is that about how domains get back into the pool of availability?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and more specifically, how they never get back to the pool of availability.
Right. And then my recollection is that the council was going to be following up on the domain tasting question. Now that the policy has been instituted, there was going to be some sort of follow-up to see what effect it was having. Do you know anything further about that?
Yeah, there has been one very brief update from staff that came right before the Sydney meeting from Craig Schwartz. Basically said we don't have the stats yet because they're not public, because all the registry operators keep their statistics private for 3 months. So basically what Craig said is come October or so, he'll have another report that looks at the statistics.
Okay, so it sounds like what they're going to do is, see, what they do is they get the monthly reports from the registry operators, and then ICANN doesn't publish them for 3 months.
Right.
Once those are published, it'll basically tell us what happened.
That's right. But clearly, we saw a really dramatic shift last June, even when the 25-cent ICANN fee became non-refundable, and Craig put out a note at that time showing how, you know, I think that the number was 86% drop in deletes month over month, which, you know, there were still a couple of players gaming the system at that time that I pointed out, and maybe that drop is bigger than it should have been because there was a lot of gaming going on right up to that point. A lot more tasting before the fee kicked in. But anyway, it shows that there was a significant drop, and we can go and look at stats now if we really wanted to.
Okay. Evan's hand is raised.
Yeah, I just wanted to concur with what was said before. If the purpose of the if the action is okay, having an automated tool to make it more effective, efficient, or do it more in scale shouldn't be the issue. I think it's more the purpose of what's being done than how fast or how many get to be done.
Okay. So my question is, mass registration tools is a means, but it's not the problem necessarily. We saw a similar issue with name spinning. Name spinning wasn't it was just a tool. But it was the issue was what it was being used for.
Can I make a comment? It's George here.
Go ahead, George.
Would this abuse also overlap with the issue of having a bulk number of registrars in order to go after expired names or sunrise periods? Would that cover the automated registration abuse that people were thinking about? Because, for example, some registrars have hundreds of clone registrars or phantom registrars that are all working in order to improve their bulk access to the resources. So if that's covered by this topic, then conceivably that could be an abuse in the sense that it's anti-competitive, that people are basically buying resources and increasing the compliance burden on ICANN. Conceivably, the registry operators would be better off if they were able to separate out their pricing, for example, to charge, you know, let's say $100,000 for X number of requests per second, and then, you know, allow an existing registrar just to buy more instead of forcing registrars to create clones of themselves.
Well, are we conflating two different topics? Because I think originally when this came up, it was basically about registrants who go out and register large numbers of domains. The issue of multiple accreditations is perhaps a different issue.
Well, that's how they're often achieving that automated.
Well, and it's not so much bulk, which is what we're talking about. Like people who drop catch, in other words, try to get expired domains, they're actually going after one specific domain usually, not bulk.
Right. That's true. Although sometimes they go after all of them. They go after the entire list.
Yeah, on occasion, but they're going after a specific, usually specific.
They prioritize them, true.
So, I mean, back to the definition here, it seems to be more about bulk stuff. James?
Were there a couple folks ahead of me in the queue? Or?
I think their hands have been up for a while.
Okay, well, I just wanted to respond to George's discussion that... I think, one, in practical terms, I don't know how you would limit something like that because they, you know, could, for example, be all different legal entities. And two, they may be established for different purposes. So, for example, those folks who are familiar with GoDaddy as our retail registrar, but we also have Wild West Domains as a reseller-only registrar. And I think that, you know, I understand what you're saying, and I think I understand the specifics that you're mentioning, but it is a little more complex than just, you know, buying additional connections or resources to access registries. But I think that getting into, you know, why that is done or how we could mitigate that would be problematic.
Okay. Jeff?
Yeah, I guess just to respond to James, I think in your circumstance, James, it would be easy to tell that for GoDaddy that those different entities are legitimate purposes. I think there are stats that we would have as registry operators to show that there are certain registrars or clones of registrars that are much easier to tell that they're not really for purposes other than the expiring domains. But I do want to just agree with Greg in the sense that I think, I'm not sure it's an issue of registration abuse. I certainly would love someone to look into ICANN's practices of accrediting registrars and transferring accreditations and things like that, you know, registrars that basically have a registrar-in-a-box model where they get accredited and then sell it off to someone else. I'm not sure how much of that's addressed by the RAA, but I think that's a whole other topic outside this group. But otherwise, I think what Greg said, you know, this is really talking about bulk registration.
Yeah, and Jeff, I just want to point out that that is part of the new RAA, or at least it's mentioned in there. What you just described, accreditation through acquisition and things of that nature. So.
Okay. So my question is this topic, this topic seems to describe a tool, but not a problem. And we're more interested in problems first. So this and name spinning, should we be discussing them, or should they kind of be subtopics of some other problem? I mean, what's the problem with mass registration tools?
I mean, really, they're just tools. It's kind of like Fast Plus hosting. They're just tools that could be used good or bad. It's not really, in my opinion, they're not abuse in and of themselves. I haven't really heard anybody say differently.
Should this be on the list, then, of issues?
I think not. I think maybe we could categorize them as a list of tools that people use for good and evil.
Yeah. And, does anybody have an objection to removing this from the list of issues? And it can always be brought up as a subtopic of a problem, but this doesn't seem to fit with the major abuse categories or problems that we have here on the list. George?
Well, I was going to say we could keep it in, just say that it does have, treat it like name spinning, where it does have a legitimate use. And then just not deal with it. So the fact that we actually did discuss it should be noted somewhere.
Okay, definitely. But I think it needs to kind of be not de-emphasized, but demoted. Is that okay? And then we'll have a note. We'll keep track of it, just like we did with name spinning. But say this is not a major abuse issue, but it's more of a tool.
Well, actually, just to play devil's advocate, I think whoever added it might have used like the telephone database analogy, where somebody goes and registers all the combinations, you know, 1-800-555, and then takes 10,000 domain names. So some consumers might dislike the notion that somebody registered, you know, 10,000 names or 100,000 domain names. That reduces the availability of so-called quality names, but I don't necessarily consider that abuse. I'm just playing the devil's advocate.
Okay.
But there are definitely people out there that would consider it an abuse.
Well, in a first-come, first-serve environment, somebody got there first.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. I agree with you.
Yeah, okay. I'm the devil to your devil, then. All right, so I think we can move on from that one unless there are any additional comments. And hearing none, scroll down to who is. Registrations using false/incorrect contact information. Especially for the benefit of Evan, who's new, I'm going to recap what we discussed early in the working group, which was that WHOIS has had a long history at ICANN It's been a subject that's been discussion in the GNSO in various forms for quite a while now, with an up and down history, I guess. There is currently a set of questions that's going to be studied on WHOIS. I would have to go back and look at the current list, but there's basically what's called a study group that's going to commission some work on a few specific WHOIS questions. Mike Rodenbaugh, is there anything else you'd like to add to the history there?
For the history, well, I mean, it's definitely a long history, but I guess I wouldn't add to that. I would just say that doesn't preclude this group from discussing WHOIS and how abuse or use or modifications to WHOIS policy might assist in dealing with any or all of these other forms of abuse that we're talking about.
Okay. Evan?
I just had my hand up to thank you for the explanation. Just to let you know, this has also had a good go-around within at large. The whole thick versus thin WHOIS, the privacy versus access to information. We've been around a block on it as well, so I'm happy to be a part of that.
Okay. One of the things maybe that I should do is let me find and send out the links to these WHOIS study questions. My suggestion is that we not try to duplicate the work that the other folks are doing there. Does that seem reasonable?
Yes, certainly. Those questions are really focused, are pretty broadly focused, and we're not going to have answers to them for 4 to 6 months, I'm sure. So bottom line is it's good to know what they're doing, but I feel like this group should be looking, you know, with each of the abuses we're looking at, we should look at specifically how WHOIS is implicated or not in those forms of abuse and how changes to the policy might be helpful in dealing with those sorts of abuse.
Okay. I see that two Fred Tillmans have joined.
The clones. The clones.
Fred, are there actually two of you, or is there just one of you?
My evil twin somehow got in.
Okay. We'll circle back to you in a second, because we've assigned you some work in your absence. let's see. I've got Mikey O'Connor next.
I guess I want to come in behind Rodenbaugh on that one. The questions in the WHOIS study group are mostly about existing behaviors and statistical analysis. But I think that this particular topic's just fine for us to continue with, and I think we should.
There are some, I think in the current WHOIS questions, there are some assumptions that may overlap with our concerns in some cases. Some of the WHOIS questions, my recollection is that they actually say we're worried about these things because of abuse, because we don't know who owns these or has registered these domain names, or it makes it difficult to reach people or confirm identities. So what I'm hearing is maybe some of the things that we talk about here or uncover during the course of our research may have a bearing on those questions. Is that fair to say?
So.
Okay. And I see Jeff.
Yeah, I love a good WHOIS discussions, but I want to agree with Mike in one respect, that false WHOIS is certainly involved or is certainly an element in some of the other forms of abuses, but I would certainly discourage this group from tackling WHOIS as a standalone subject like it's listed in this chart. I was a chair of a WHOIS task force back in, I don't know, it was 2003, 2004. I mean, this issue has dragged on forever and will certainly bog down this group. to note it as a potential form of abuse or to note it as an element of other forms of abuse, I think is fine. But to recommend any further work on who is out of this group, I would strongly oppose, just because it'll just drag the entire discussion down.
Maybe we should go a little bit further into the history so everybody understands what's being discussed here. I mean, my understanding is that some of these who is groups basically have been in existence for something like 8 years in various forms, in part because there were not opportunities where consensus could be reached.
No, I mean there were there were opportunities. It's just you have diametrically opposed sides. I mean, completely diametrically opposed. So you're not going to get a consensus on a number of those issues. I mean, there were everything was raised from should we even have who is at all? Why do we have who is? What's the original purpose of who is? Versus what is it morphed into now? Topics like proxy domain registrations. I mean, everything has come up in one form or another. It's not that there hasn't been an opportunity for consensus. It's just that you just can't get groups that are diametrically opposed to come off of their position in any manner at all. I mean, I'm glad we're doing studies to show hard facts and data, because much of the discussion in the last 8 to 10 years has revolved around rhetoric. I mean, you know, one side makes the overgeneralization that, you know, I mean, there's overgeneralizations on both sides, and so having the facts behind those assertions is going to be helpful. But in the end, I mean, I'm pretty pessimistic about it, that you're still going to have the diametrically opposed sides, and I'm not sure consensus will ever be able to reach on those subjects. But I just would say, you know, you can note in, for example, in cyber squatting, an element found a lot in cyber squatting is that there's false who is information. You know, it's also, I mean, you can note it as part of something you see with other abuses, but I would not address it as a standalone topic in this group.
Okay. Richard?
I agree with Jeff. I think our time will be better spent on topics that haven't had as much detailed study in ICANN the last few years.
Okay. Evan, do you have another comment?
Just a point that the way at-large is tackling this is basically to tell ICANN to get on with it, make a decision one way or the other. The facts are pretty well at hand. We know what both sides have staked out. The board should just make a decision, get on with it.
Decision about what exactly?
Thick versus thin. That kind of thing.
Okay. And in the new TLD guidebook, by the way, I think there is now a requirement that new registries must be thick. Mikey?
Just to sort of wrap this up, I agree with Jeff's point and others when they say that this is sort of a poisonous issue and that we could get sucked into a time waster. But I also agree with Rodenbaugh that I think it's okay for us to acknowledge that this is a part of many of the abuse issues that we're going to discuss, and perhaps just find some language that sort of sits at that end of the scale so that we don't just drop it all together.
I mean, personally, I'm also in that place, Mikey. My understanding is that these study questions are kind of the compromise that was reached after several years worth of work. Doesn't make any sense for us to try to start that process over or come at it from another direction. We may find out some things, and we may be able to say some things, though, about how the who is issue has a bearing upon these other issues. It may inform the work of the other study group, but I think, as we agreed early on, who is mainly something that is going to be tackled in another fora in ICANN. I see Jeff and Richard's hands up Do you have any additional notes?
No, you just didn't take us down.
Oh. Yeah, I do. Just for the record, in our view, thick versus thin, there's no relationship on the accuracy of data. If we mandate thick data, we're just going to have thick, inaccurate data. I don't think there's any real relationship between the centralization of thick data and the accuracy of that data.
This is Mikey. I agree with that.
Okay. All righty. So it sounds like my action item is to send out a note to everybody pointing you to those WHOIS questions that are being discussed as in the study group. WHOIS is something we may write about in relation to all these other problems that we're working our way through, but WHOIS is not going to be a major abuse topic that we will discuss in the group. Is that correct? Okay. All right. That sounds like a fair summary, unless anyone objects. All right. We're coming up to 30 after. So we got through several topics today. That was very productive. Fred, just so you know, one of the action items that we're taking away is we're going to work a little bit more on that definition of cyber squatting. One of the things we want to do is take the ACPA factors. So we've got the high-level ACPA definition up there, but I guess then there are some criteria that are applied, kind of like the UDRP has some criteria that you apply to see if something is a violation or not. We want to try to finish up a definition in the little subgroup that we have together, maybe within a week or so. Post that up to the wiki so everyone can see it, and also then the group can send out a note that the material is up there. We will discuss the definition in our next meeting in 2 weeks. And then basically the issue with cyber squatting is it's an acknowledged problem. After we get a definition, the next question is, well, what are potentially some of the solutions or recommendations that might go along with that. Marika jotted down a list that came up during the course of today's meeting, and we will work our way through those. Our next meeting is in 2 weeks, same time, and I encourage everybody to use the list and the wikis. If you're posting to the wiki, and you've got something major or something new, please also post a note to the group list to let everybody know about it. We want to keep discussion going offline between our meetings every other week. So next week we'll do cyber squatting, and then we will continue down our list.
Hey, I just want to let you know that the meeting in 2 weeks from today, actually, does that coincide with a briefing? Actually, excuse me, I'm sorry, it's wrong. It coincides next week. Monday is the IRT in New York. Sorry.
Right, you're right. There's a meeting in New York next week, but we'll miss that. So we'll be okay. So we're on schedule for a meeting on the 20th. Okay, good. We got through a lot of material today. Everybody feel good about where we are? Any suggestions about how the work is going? Any feedback? Is everyone generally happy with the way things are going? Yes? No?
You're reaching.
Well, you're doing a good job.
Greg. You're doing a good job. We stress you out. There's a lot of material here.
Okay, good. Glad to hear it. Thanks for your time, everybody, and we'll see you on the list.
Thanks, Greg.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Bye.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.